Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
What we've been singing has a lot to do with us trusting in the word of the Lord and trusting in God's promises. And this morning, every one of you come from different circumstances, and you've got different things going on in your life. And some of you were easily able to engage your heart in worship, and some of you, it was probably a struggle, and some of you weren't able to. And that's just how it is. We all live in this life, and we have things come at us from the left, from the right, all the time. But God has a remedy for that. And God's remedy is His holy word. And that we would begin to apply His word. Our hope will be dashed if we do not hope in Him. If we don't trust in Him. And so this morning, as I'm going to bring the word to you, this was something that happened earlier in this week that the Lord started highlighting Psalm 37. And so I read through the psalm. And as I read through the psalm, it was just so filled and packed with like probably 10 or 12 or 15 sermons. It's huge as far as wisdom. As many psalms, they are filled with wisdom. Psalm 37 is a wisdom psalm. It's a wisdom psalm. Now, you have an option just like I have an option. You're going to look at this word, and you're going to know that it's God's word, and you're going to apply it to your life, and you're really going to say yes to it, or you're just going to go through the motions again and not apply this holy word to your life. That's your choice. It's my choice, and I've made that choice sometimes in a good way and sometimes in a bad way. But we're in a time right now that the Lord really needs us to dig into His word and know that we're going to be sustained by His holy word. Nothing else. Our worship is absolutely important. The presence of God is huge. But His word is what we need to dwell and meditate on and allow it to have its way within our lives. I would go as far as to challenge you about Psalm 37 and myself and say, if you will meditate on Psalm 37 for the next month, that the Lord will give you so, so much that you'll be able to deal with your worries and your anxiety. You'll be able to deal with your heartbreak. You'll be able to deal with abundance, blessing, or not. Because even when you live in prosperity and blessing, there's a stewardship that begins to happen in that. And so Psalm 37, I'm going to read the first 11 verses. I'm not going to read the whole psalm. It's way too long. I'm going to highlight a couple of things, then I'm going to walk my way through it. And I want you to grab out the nuggets, and if you can write it down, if you have something to pin it, or just even, you know, jot it down in your notes and your phone, whatever you need to do. But grab hold of this. See, what happens sometimes is that the word, you know, we just experience amazing worship right there. Amazing worship. And we sit under that, and then we have an opportunity to sit under the word and to feed on the word and apply it. I was talking to somebody earlier today, and I said, you know, my son graduates this coming Saturday from college. I was talking to John, and I said, my son graduates, and then we're going to go fishing for a few days. And I said, for about 4 days, we're going to go fishing, and in those 4 days, I'm going to lay out everything I possibly can to say, this is what works, and this is what doesn't. Now, you have an option to listen to your dad, who's 60 years old, be 61. You have an option to listen to me, or you can just throw it by the wayside and learn on your own. But what I'm going to give you is what I've learned from the Word and what I've experienced, my failures, my victories. And my victory is always in Jesus. It's always in Jesus. It always is. You can get your battle horses ready, but the victory is in Jesus. And we need to do that. But the victory is in Him. So Psalm 37, it says, do not fret or do not worry because of evildoers. Be not envious toward wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord. Lean into him. Rely upon him and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart, those secret petitions of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Commit. Trust also in him, and he will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Verse 7, it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret. There it is again. Do not worry. Do not fret. Because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. There it is again. Don't worry. It leads only to evil doing. For evil doers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Yet a little while, and the wicked man will be no more. And you will look carefully for his place, and he will not be there. Verse 11. But the humble will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. Abundant prosperity. Now, as I look at this psalm again, I call it a wisdom psalm. It's filled with wisdom. Another thing, it was like a life psalm. It was like if my life is in a commotion or I'm in chaos, if I read this psalm, it begins to help me through the chaos, through the commotion that's all around me, the things that are swirling around me, the struggles that I have. This psalm also to me is hang in there psalm. That's basically what it says to me. Hang in there. Hold on. Don't give up. Trust in the Lord. Hang in there. And so when we look at this thing, we start to break it down. This psalm is about living by faith. It's about living by faith. It's about the life of faith. It involves the miracle of what will happen when you trust in the Lord, when you have faith to believe. Because there's always miracles that come when you have faith to believe in the Lord. And you don't fret, you don't fret, you don't fret, you don't fret. What is fret? Fret is worry. Well, let me just say this to help everybody. Everybody worries. Come on. One way or another, don't tell me you haven't worried in your life. Matter of fact, the reason why it's so often in this psalm or in the New Testament is because God knows that all his people worry. And he keeps saying, don't fret, don't fret. Because he knows they're going to get caught in that worry about this and worry about that. And all of a sudden, they're going to be taken out of what? Any kind of victory circle with God. Because now they're consumed with worry. So if you're worrying today about something, God understands it. He can get right in the middle of it with you. But he wants to help you out of it. And he wants you to move toward things that he has for you. That's what this psalm is about. Last week while I was here, my heart, I just started feeling so much empathy in that for families and for individuals and single moms and single dads and people that are single. And I just was feeling, my heart was just tugging, saying, I know that they're struggling. I know they're going through things. And that's why I believe the Lord highlighted this psalm. So if you're one of those people, if you're doing good, that's great. But, you know, you're going to run into something before long. And I'm going to tell you that if you'll grab hold of Psalm 37, it is a life psalm. It is almost like how you live the Christian life is found in Psalm 37. We've got Jesus and the Holy Spirit in a big way, but Jesus is all about this psalm. So it really means this psalm to grasp and to hold on to the truths of what God has in his promises, that we focus what is happening in his word. And we know that he's promising that things are going to change. If you look at the first two verses, it's even about the end times. And I think of the things that are coming down and the things that are happening in our nation, in the world. It says, do not fret or do not worry because of evildoers. Be not envious toward wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass. It's going to go away before long. It's going to wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. It's going to go away. It may seem like it's winning for a time, but in this psalm, you know, if we went a little deeper in this psalm, it says that God laughs at them. He has humor within him to laugh at what people are doing evil ways, trying to stop us and trying to move us away from God. Psalm 37 is an exhortation. It exhorts us and to be encouraged to live a life. David modeled that life for us. And this psalm brings hope to us. This psalm, it won't let you go. I just want to say that. You get a hold of this psalm, it won't let you go. It'll keep grabbing you through the day and through the night and through the morning. This psalm is so powerful, and it shows us how to survive and to be strong in the Lord. It shows us how to live in hope. Right now, the scenery around us is beginning to look more like Babylon than New Jerusalem. And I believe that this psalm will help us through viewing Babylon all around us, because it will give us hope. You're going to either take this and apply this and say, okay, I'm all in. Or you and I are going to be tossed about. You're going to be tossed about. I'm going to be tossed about. Gosh, I am so stirred and sick and tired of the evil that apprehends my brothers and my sisters. And it causes us to be almost like wimps instead of courageous believers walking in the ways of God. And it is time for us to raise our voice and to stand and reflect who he is in the goodness of who he is. This is not an hour to shrink back. This is an hour to proclaim the goodness of who he is. And I don't know where to go. I just hang with me. There's so much in this. This psalm shows us how to live in hope, how to understand it, how not to live in or confess American prosperity and say that's what hope looks like. No, it doesn't. It's going to crumble. Prosperity is living in intimate relationship and knowing God on a daily basis. And know just exactly what we sang about, that his love never fails and he never gives up on us. And look where he found me and he took me from that place and where he wants to take me. Moms, dads, now is the time to stand like never before. It's always been the time to stand. But you know, again, our American culture is beginning to move in on Christianity in a powerful way. I told you not long ago that we're no longer in covenant with God. America isn't, because of what we've chosen. But God's people are. And God can change things. Again, this psalm will not let you go. It wants you to focus on the important things. And I'm going to read it here in a minute. I'm just warming up on it. It wants you to focus on the important things, not American prosperity, but really the important things that God says in his word that's going to be life-giving to you and to your family. Young people, you want to get married? Want to get married? I'll tell you what, your marriage is going to be as rough as all get out if it is not anchored in the word of God. I'm telling you. That's one of the things I'm going to have a lot of talks anyway. With my son. I'm getting ahead of myself there. This psalm is going to give you some relief, because I don't want you to live in the condemnation of worry, but understand that there's a key in this psalm, and the fretting that happens, God wants us out of that to be encouraged and going on. And he's not a stranger to worry. He's not a stranger to pain. Jesus isn't at all. David had confidence in God's nearness. And that's why he could write the things he wrote in the Psalms, because he had confidence. God wants you to have confidence in his nearness, that he's with you, that he isn't going to forsake you. It doesn't matter how you've been weeping or crying or what you've been going through. God wants to be right there in the midst of it with you to help you and to move you forward. That's what's in this Psalm. I need to see a pastor. I need to see a counselor. Well, maybe. But what you need is this word. This word will counsel you. This word will enlighten you. This word will direct your path. This word, if you begin to digest it, to eat it, and to devour it. It's going to have its way inside of you. It's going to cause you to delight in the Lord. You cannot delight in the Lord if you're consumed with worry. But if you're consumed with the Word of God, you begin to delight in the ways of God. How much we try to figure out things, you know, because of what we see in men and women and through colleges and workplace and all that stuff. And we neglect the very wisdom that will ground us and root us and lead us and move us to be who we're called to be. The Word of God will do that for you. Psalm 6, verses 8 and 9, I want to read this to you because I want you to know God is near. David knew that God was near. The Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord accepts my prayer. Who is that for in here today? Some of you, there you go. There's one right there. Who else? Raise your hand. Is this for you? He hears you. He hears your weeping. He knows what's going on, and he wants to be close to you. And he wants to help you through it, to be victorious and to be free. And he knows that you worry. He knows all that. And we're always trying to figure out, okay, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? What if I do this, then this will happen. Then I'll do this, and this will happen. But maybe we should do this. And then, you know what? That guy said this, and that gal said this. And we're trying to figure this out, what God has for us, when in his word is how we're going to find out what he has for us. When we learn to rest and wait upon the Lord. Do you know that waiting is active? Oh, yeah. Waiting is not like just sitting and finding your place and just, I'm going to wait on God, and doing nothing. That is not waiting on God. Waiting on God is delighting in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. That's waiting on God. I'm waiting on God, so how am I waiting on God? I'm delighting in the Lord, and I'm trusting him. I'm committing my way onto him. And by doing that, now I'm waiting in the right way. But that waiting is active because I'm praying and I'm believing and I'm standing on his word. Are you guys with me on this? Do you see what I'm saying? Waiting is not just, okay, I'm waiting on God. It's activity. And that activity, the biggest part of that is delighting in the Lord, and he will give me the desires of my heart. And when you delight in the Lord, what happens is your desires, you become to realize that your desires are his desires. What he desires for you, but also the desires that you have for him. Because in the delighting, all of a sudden now you're shifting in your thoughts and your emotions and how you live and what you do. And now delighting in the Lord. You know, don't let Christianity that we know sometimes in the past affect you to what's happening right now in this moment and in the future. Don't get your eyes on the church and what happened in the church. I'm sorry, I don't mean to offend anybody in here, but if you're looking at what happened in the church and that's coming up in you quite a bit, then you're living not in victory, but you're living in the past. And I'm going to tell you that God is the God of the past, the present, and the future. And he can free you from that past. But that is a wrong mindset. And Jesus, he said, we were singing, Betsy started singing, that he's our freedom. Jesus is the freedom from the past. He's the freedom from all that stuff. What even happened yesterday? He's the freedom from all that. If you failed at something, if you made a mistake, he's for you, and he wants to pick you up and keep moving you forward in love and in him. I want to encourage you this morning. Don't trust in men and women. Chariots and horses, trust in the Lord. Trust in his word. Trust in what he's saying to you right now in this hour and a half that we gather together. Trust what he's saying to you. And then you have a choice when you walk out of here. Am I going to respond to this, or am I going to get caught up more in fretting and worrying? I know this is my, I think I got a soapbox going this morning. It's just like heavy on my heart, you know what I mean? It's just a soapbox of saying, I just want to see us free. I want to see my family free. I want to see you free. I don't want you to mess around anymore with false hopes and false things, when being before the Lord and in his presence means everything and his word. Okay, let's look at verse 7. I think I've already bypassed it, but let me look. Verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait. I think I bypassed it. Wait patiently for him. Do not fret, don't worry, because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries wicked schemes out. Rest, 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 and wait. Rest and wait in the Lord. Look at the word. Look at it. Is it on the screen? Yes. Look at the word. Look at what it's saying. When I look at verses 1 through 11, it just what pops out at me is, don't worry. Trust in the Lord. Dwell in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. He will do it. Rest in the Lord. Wait in the Lord. Don't worry in the Lord. Cease from anger. Don't worry in the Lord. And then it says, be humble. And then if I went way over to verse 23, it says, the steps of a man and woman are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way, her way. It says, when he falls, he will not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. I mean, this psalm is filled. The last verse of this psalm, in verse 40, it says, the Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. You don't take refuge in Voice Ministries. You don't take refuge in any other ministry. You don't take refuge in your bank account. You don't take refuge in your workplace. You don't take refuge in whatever knowledge you've accomplished. You take refuge in him and him alone. That's our refuge. That's our answer. Sounds easy, right? I know it's hard, but it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. Think of all the beautiful things God has done. Don't worry. He exalts us to delight in the Lord, to commit our way, to trust in him, to be still before the Lord, to rest before the Lord. Sometimes we have to look through the pain that we're going through to know the Lord. And John prayed it. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. We have to understand that and believe that and delight in that. Delight in the Lord. Not in our good or bad circumstances. Don't delight in them. Delight in the Lord. Delight in him. Always welcoming his presence and his faithfulness. So I kind of sum this up a little bit. And I'm going to have Michael come up. We're going to take an offering here in a minute. So when I looked at this psalm, I could have went in so many different directions. But I want to encourage you today that no matter what you're going through, no matter what anyone is going through, I'm encouraging you to trust in the Lord, to trust in his ways. Trust him. Trust him today. Trust him tomorrow. Trust him tonight. No matter what kind of news you get from a doctor or anyone else, trust him. Trust him. Delight in him. What does that mean? What does that look like? Well, I think for everybody it's a little different. But delighting in the Lord is getting in that place where you acknowledge him and his goodness and his mercy. We sang about it this morning. Delight in the Lord. Delight in him. Submit to him today. Submit to him today. I put down here this morning, submit in such a way that you're not running things anymore. You're not running things anymore. You're not running the show. No one else is running the show. You're going to submit and say, I'm giving this to you today. I'm going to ask you to run the show. I'm going to ask you to run my life, my family's life. I'm going to ask you to run things in my life. It says to humble ourselves. When we humble ourselves, we refuse to take situations into our own hands. We begin to trust him with everything. And that's what I'm asking of you and myself and all of us, the leadership and everybody here, that we trust in him, what he's going to do and what he's doing. You guys are filled with potential. Men, women, Even last week, I started exhorting the women. You're called to be leaders. You're called to arise. I can't get away from Judges chapter 5 where Deborah, the Lord awakens Deborah. Mm-hmm. And he says to her, wake up. Awake, Deborah. Sing a song loud to the Lord. And then go have at your enemy. I love that. Wake up, Deborah's. Wake up, Jeremiah's, Elijah's. Wake up, John the Baptist in this room. Wake up and arise and sing and walk after what God has for you. Many of you have things spoken of you that maybe you're prophetic or you're this or you're that. And it's kind of been laying by the wayside. Some of you have a desire to teach. It's not over. But God's wanting to position you so that you're trusting completely in Him so you can walk out what He has for your life. I want to encourage you this morning. Get your eyes on Him. Know that hope has a name, and it is Jesus. Amen. Know that He can make things happen for you. Don't fret. Don't worry. And if you're doing that, there's an answer to it in Psalm 37. Begin to delight in the Lord and trust in Him. That's what he's saying. Who are you trusting in, really? Who are you? Think it through. Be honest with God this morning. Who are you trusting in? Can you sell everything you have and go follow Jesus? Can you? Could you? Really? How about if you've prospered in a business and it's doing real well? Could you sell that and go after what God has called you to do? See, there's no, this psalm is not going to leave you alone. It's not going to let you go. It's going to require everything out of you. And it's for your good. It's for your joy. It's for the fulfillment of what God has. Last night, listen to this. These poems were written last night. Just be attentive for a little bit more. Try to stay attentive here. Just try to stay attentive. Because this is all for you. Last night, Denny was hit with some bad news on Friday. Not good news. Bad news. Physical news. And it began to shake him. Psalm 37 a little bit. Because he's been through so much. So much. So much. Many of you have been through a lot. And so he gets this poem. I won't read it like he does, but this is what he says. It's called The Eye of the Storm. Sometimes life feels like a ship lost in the eye of a storm. Anybody been there? Tossed amongst the waves of life, my emotions striking like lightning, piercing my heart, grasping for strength to hold on as the eye of the storm crashes over me. My voice crying out from within. Oh, my Jesus, I need you, my closest friend. Will you save me? My life is on the brink. Then in the midst of darkness, I see Jesus' gentle guiding light, falling on my knees, crying at such a precious sight. Now my faith in my Jesus will be my anchor upon this sea of life. Now peace be still to the raging sea, casting my cares upon Jesus. Yes, Jesus is my guide. I'm no more lost in the eye of the storm. I think it deserves that, at least something. Creativity in the Lord is massive. And we've just got it to this. Man, we got so many prophetic things happening. There's so much God wants us to grab songs out of the air and bring them down and bring healing and deliverance to people. Then he wrote this one. These are two. In less than 24 hours, the presence of Jesus. In the presence of Jesus is where I long to be, living each moment in His tender care. My Jesus is walking with me, teaching me His wonders, filling me with His love, finding delight in being with Jesus, who is the King of heaven and earth, living each before my Jesus, fearfully aware of each moment in time. Do I glorify Jesus? Are my motives pure? Am I upholding His truth? A risk I take. Is my life a living holy sacrifice, or has my love faded again? I can't be conformed to this world. Jesus, restore to be one with you. Restore me to be one with you. I want to obey when I hear my Jesus. Speak as His Spirit and His Word teaches me. Sometimes I feel so weak, and then I hear, take up your cross and follow me. Sometimes life can seem so hard. It's only with my eyes upon Jesus that I can see. It's in the presence of Jesus is where I long to be and live. That's amazing. That's the heart. That's the heart crying out in the midst of when things sometimes you start to fret and you begin to go back and trust Him. Just want to pray for everybody right now real quick, and then we're going to take up an offering. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would move in the midst of my brothers and my sisters here today, that you would strengthen them. That on this day would be a day of remembrance, that we would submit everything to you and say, we're no longer running things. We're giving it to you. Lord, I ask today for those that are worrying, that they would fret not and begin to delight in you and trust in you. That you will make a way where there is no way. You said in your word, Jesus, let not our hearts be troubled. Today, let our hearts not be troubled as we trust in you. The same yesterday, today, and forever. We believe in your promises that are yet to come. Delighting in you. Desiring the things that conform us to your will and not our own will. So right now, God, we just submit that. I just want you to keep your eyes closed for a minute and just pray. Say, Lord, I want your will, not my own. There's a situation right now that is coming to our minds, some of us. And right now, God wants us to humble ourselves and refuse to take that situation into our own hands, but to give it to Him. Give it to Him. Prosperity in you, in your ways, not American prosperity, but your prosperity, God. Abundant prosperity as we delight in you. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. In 2 Samuel 10:12, it says, let the Lord do what seems good to Him in my life. And that's what I want to leave you with.